And for all our fans in Utah, Donovan Mitchell is going to make it. That's why he's not on my list. It's a given. Mike Connolly should make it, but I don't know. There's a lot of guards out there.
You went from a Utah fan to a Utah homer in 11 days since our last podcast.
The NBA All-Star Game is coming up on March 7th.
They're having it?
They're having it in Atlanta, behind me.
I've been off the grid. Like I said, Palm Springs, you don't pay attention to anything but Miami Vices and how long you can hang out by the pool. So take me through this.
March 7th, Atlanta, All-Star Game. TV only. Fans, do not travel to Atlanta. You will not be let in. It's a TV only event. Last week, they announced the starters. The important thing is LeBron is the captain for the West, or Team LeBron. I guess they don't have West anymore. And KD is the other captain. And they will draft the starters first, and then they will draft the reserves. The reserves will be announced tomorrow night, Tuesday night. And that's what I want to get into.
Time out. It's still West or East versus West, right?
No.
It's wow.
LeBron versus KD. I don't know who gets first round pick, but LeBron could pick Giannis, or he could pick Steph, or he could pick Joel Embiid. It's no East versus West. It's LeBron versus KD. You got to pick the starters first because the starters have to start. They got voted in, and then they open it up to the reserves.
I see. So you could go, you could theoretically go Joker, Embiid, and just go big.
Yeah.
If I'm LeBron, that's what I'm doing, so I can run point guard. Just keep the ball in my hands the entire time.
Or if you're Durant, you could go Curry and Kyrie and go small.
Ooh, not a bad idea. A lot of options. What are you doing?
Guards dominate. I'm going with either Luka, Curry, or Kyrie, number one pick. LeBron won't pick Kyrie because they have beef. But I think you got to go small first because it's up and down. You run up and down. It's alley-oops. It's three-pointers. No one plays any D. Steph and Kyrie are going to go nuts.
Okay. Continue. Let's go with the reserves.
There are going to be a handful of first-time NBA All-Stars. And what's exciting to me is everyone knows about the big names, but it's these up-and-comers. These guys who get to the All-Star game for their first time, and then they blossom into tomorrow's stars. I'm going to go through four, two on the West Coast, two on the East Coast. And the only reason why I'm doing East Coast, Big Ben, is because they have an affiliation with the West Coast. Okay. So that's why I'm going.
Permissible. Continue.
Number one, first-time All-Star. They get announced tomorrow, so we'll see if I'm right and how many I'm right. You got to go Devin Booker from your Phoenix Suns. The Suns have won 10 out of the last 12. They're a top five team in the West. And D-Book, his last six games, 36, 30, 36, 27, 22, 23. He's averaging 29 points, four assists, playing well. And you know what? It's not just on the court. It's off the court because he's dating Kendall Jenner. They went official last week. D-Book gets the nod for me.
That would be a pretty darn good week. You get the, yeah, we're in a relationship on Facebook from Kendall Jenner. She changes her status, and all of a sudden you change your status to NBA All-Star. What a week for D-Books. Hey, he deserves that too. Long time coming, crowded backcourt in the West, but he deserves it.
The next guy, we've gone back since his college days. I'm a big fan. You're not a big fan, but I think you'd be a big fan of this statistic. He is on pace to average 24 points on 60% shooting from the field. He would be the fourth player ever to do that. Kevin McHale, Wilt, Kareem, and Zion. Ooh. Wow. He gets my pick. First-time All-Star, Zion Williamson. You know what? He's not just scoring. He's facilitating. They're putting the ball in his hands. He's doing a lot. And look at this stat. He averages 18 points in the paint per game. You cannot stop. They spread it, put them around with shooters. Zion has got my vote. There are 10 teams that go to the playoffs. 10 teams. Number seven plays number eight to see who gets in. If you win, you're automatically in as the seventh seed. The loser of that game goes to play the winner of the 9 and 10 game. So the winner of the 9 and 10 game has to win twice to get in. And the Pelicans are right now in 11th. You got to reward the team in the 11th place.
That is a horrible justification. It's like you tried to thoroughly confuse me into justifying Zion as an all-star because you knew I wouldn't give him any credit. Those stats are nice. I think Zion, as Z-Bo exited the NBA, he's Z-Bo 2.0. But I think a little flashier. He plays above the rim. And he did lead the Pelicans back from, I think, one of the biggest comebacks in franchise history. Yeah. New Orleans is a smaller market, but I think Zion's a guy that is largely acclaimed, and they're trying to lift his status along with the guys like the likes of Luka and others as the next wave of stars. So although I might not think it's fully justified, Kaywin, your argument swayed me just enough to accept it.
We got two more, and we've got Jaylen Brown from the Celtics. And whoa, I know our West Coast podcast. You know where he went to college, University of California, 2015 to 2016, left early, so we still claim him. In 29 games this year, Tatum's missed 7 games. Kemba's missed 16. The only consistency is Mr. Jaylen Brown. Listen to this. His stats have gone up over the last 3 years, each and every year. Career high last year in points and rebounds and assists, career year this year. If you look at him, he can post up. He's a bigger guard. He's an elite wing. He can come off the pick and roll, and now he can shoot the three. I'm going Jaylen Brown from Atlanta. He's going back to Atlanta, first All-Star game.
That's one thing here I will agree with you on is so many times All-Stars make the game just duly to their name. Like, they could have not played in more than 25% of the game, but the fans are going to vote him in because they want to see him. So it's right to actually reward someone who's been around and played in every game, which is rare this day and age with load management and minute control or whatever else you want to call it. I'll take Jaylen, one, because he's from Cal, and two, Cal's going to need some help recruiting some players. If I'm the coach, they're horrible. And if you can say, hey, we produce NBA All-Stars, and your nose doesn't grow, all the better for the coach at Cal. So go Jaylen. I'll take that. Can I plug one person?
Go ahead. He might be my fourth guy, though, but go ahead.
He is. Adam Bothell.
Yes, he is my number four.
Let me plug LaVine. Everyone thought he was a just high flyer, dunk contest. You see guys like Aaron Gordon come out, and, you know, they don't get spoken in the same respect as if they play in a game. They think of them as dunkers. No one's ever going to forget what did Eric Gordon do? He jumped over a mascot, the Philly Fanatic in the Magic costume or something like that. Like, that's the only – or jumping over a car and he's, like, parallel sitting down. That's how I remember Eric Gordon. That's how I remembered Zach LaVine until this year. LaVine has showed up. The nastiness has come out. He's a Bruin. He's a Bothell Cougar. So he's West Coast through and through. I would love to see him. Any sports, the retro shell toes, the old Adidas. And if you ever played in those, they're not easy. They pinch your toes, and somehow he still puts up 40 in them. So I got LaVine. Punch his ticket. Get him to Atlanta.
Only go Cougs. Four players in the NBA are averaging at least 25 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting 50% from the field and 40% from three-point land. And that is Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, the Joker, and LaVine. Like, that's elite company. And I saw this stat on Twitter. Everyone takes Twitter because it's got to be right. He scored the most points in the fourth quarter in the NBA. And he has moved from being the NBA dunk champion to an all-around player who hopefully can get the Bulls into the playoffs this year. I've got LaVine as number four.
No one will mention him in the same breath as Jordan, but the things he's doing on the court and the stats he's putting up, if he does get him to the playoffs, I mean, that's a win for Chicago with the direction that franchise has been going the last 5 to 7 years. Anything post-Jordan you want to talk about. So, and I'm glad a guy out of Washington, where Seattle has produced a lot of good NBA players, he's going to be the next wave. Good to see.
Good
for Seattle, or the greater Seattle area, if you would.
And for all our fans in Utah, Donovan Mitchell is going to make it. That's why he's not on my list. It's a given. Mike Connolly should make it, but I don't know. There's a lot of guards out there.
You went from a Utah fan to a Utah homer in 11 days since our last podcast. Yeah. Wow. Hey, I'm going to get into something a little more serious.
All right.
It's around the Mariners. Right before we came on, I wanted to jump on and just thrash the Mariners as an organization. And I still want to do that, but I want to do it without emotion and make sure I take you through this. So are you aware of why Mather's in trouble or why he was fired?
Didn't he get on either a podcast or he spoke in public and he said some disparaging comments about players from a different culture, from a different ethnicity?
So not only did he do that, well, preemptively, people will forget this. He's getting fired for that reason. But there were accusations of sexual harassment by two female organizational employees years earlier.
I didn't hear that.
They settled out of court. Here's some money. Hush money. Go away. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
And for an organization that hasn't won, hasn't put a playoff team or a team in the playoffs in 20 years, yet people still show up. The owners don't own the stadium. The Seattle fans have put tax dollars up to keep them around and in T-Mobile Park, which is a great park. Don't get me wrong. But this guy, Kevin Mather, gets on a Bellevue Rotary Club. Bellevue Rotary Club, K-Win. Bellevue, while diverse probably in stats in terms of ethnicity mix, the people that I saw on this Rotary Club were all Caucasian. And that comes into the story and the fact that I think Kevin Mather got on thinking he was amongst trusted people and the jokes and things that he tried to insinuate would make them laugh. Like it was a good boys club and he was at the bar, but the things and people he probably ticked off and alienated himself from were, I think, 10 players, most of them of different ethnicities. He made fun of the fact that people couldn't speak English properly when this is their foreign country. And to be honest with you, myself as a Mariners fan who has had full season or quarter share of full season tickets, I can't go back there. I can't support anyone. I'll support the players. They're good players up and coming. But the idea that this guy alienates and sees people as just cogs into the grand scheme of putting a winner on the field is indisputably horrendous, not just optically, but I think for the entire organization. And it's a shame that this ownership group, John Stanton, and if you look at the owners, K-Win, if you Google them, who the ownership group, because it's made up of, it looks like an old good boys club. Honestly, guys in suits, they sit up in the owner's box, you know, clap. They're still making money. They're not paying anything for the stadium. So in effect, when I say sell, you got to get out. You can't produce a winner. It's apparent. Mm-hmm. You got guys that obviously don't know how to manage a club. They're so disconnected with what's going on in the field and the personnel that they have in the field. And four, you've lost me. I've been a loyal Mariners fan. I've gone to the games by myself. I bought 15 game tickets when I could barely afford them because I liked going and watching the games. Man. That's me being honest. I'd sit up by myself. I can't go back. Sell the team. You're so disconnected. It amounts to this, K-Win, and I'm taking a little maybe too far, but we just saw an election that divided the country just due to the fact of what that president stood for.
Yeah.
You had two parties, Republicans and Democrats. A lot of people looked at Republicans just due to the person that was the president and all the background and baggage that he came with, disrespecting women, all these allegations against him. This is, in a sense, not too far off from that.
Yeah.
You have a team that is running. You have people in high places making a lot of money that is running a team so disconnected with what's actually going on and how to properly treat people that they've come out right and said it, that I can't be a fan anymore.
Yeah. You've got a person in power acting like he's in power and there's no repercussions for whatever he does or says. So I'm with you.
the horrible part about this is there people love the Mariners.
Yeah.
I mean, they're this city. I wrote it, oddly enough, before this happened or before this was released, because he actually recorded this some 14 days ago and didn't preemptively come out and say, shoot, what I said maybe was a little outlandish, and kind of precede and maybe do a little like emergency repair. Like, hey, this may, no, he waited for it to come out on YouTube, in which people watched it, digest it, and just everything he said was wrong. But the horrifying part of this is the owners think that he was a good president. So if you're employing this person and you believe, and you're paying off people that he sexually harassed to cover him up and save him, there's something wrong at the top. The owners need to sell, quite frankly. They need to sell. And if that doesn't happen, then I'm not going to go. There needs to be some, sort of ramification at the top. I mean, the city of Seattle is letting them play in the stadium. They're collecting the benefits. At some point, it needs to stop.
$14-year, $340 million contract for Fernando Tatis Jr. came out last week. Big Ben was in the desert. I don't know where Kay Wynn was, but we're bringing the news to you right now. And you know why I'm so excited? The number one, two, and three contracts in baseball are all in California. They're actually all in Southern California. You've got three players between Trout, Betts, and Tatis. Their total contracts is $1.1 billion. Tatis is $340 million, Betts is $365 million, Trout is $430 million. The Mariners, who we just talked about, their team payroll is $84 million. Oakland's team payroll is $73 million. Could either one of them afford a $20 or $30 million player? I don't know. But San Diego now has two players making over $20 million because 2 years ago, they signed Machado. So that's a small market team stepping up and taking advantage of the talent that they have. And I'm all in on the Padres this year, Big Ben.
All I can say is I might have to, where'd you get that hat?
I got it at Petco 2 years ago.
I'm going to have to make a trip now because I might become a Pods fan. I like what they're doing. They're investing. And here's why I think it's strategic. So if you, the owner of the Pods is Ron Fowler. He's a smart guy. And here's why I say he's smart. Why do people go to games? Because they have discretionary income. They want to take their kids. They want an experience. Chargers, Spanos said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go saddle up in LA. He said, okay, great. Hey, I'm a one-town sports team and probably one of the top 10 populated cities in all of the entire country with an outdoor park that's fun to go to.
Greatest weather in the world.
Why not invest, right? Hey, the more you spend collectively, the more people are going to come through those turnstiles. And to have a guy like Tatis, who is a second-generation major leaguer, and surround him with guys like Hosmer and the like, I mean, it's. I think, will he get a return on the investment? Maybe, maybe not. It's a down year coming through COVID, but hey, keep him around. Everyone needs a cornerstone. You know, Trout's forever going to be in Anaheim, most likely. But you got to build around him, and we'll see how that happens. But that's a lot of money. $1.2 billion for three guys?
Three guys, yeah.
Let's email them and see if they want to buy the Mariners. I'm dead serious. Hey, you guys want to buy the Mariners collectively? I'll go in. I'll chip in a little money.
Yeah,
not much, but hey, I'll become a minority owner and be the voice of reason. All right, you were saying.
The Pods, since the Chargers left, they went all in. They traded for Yu Darvish, and they traded for, what's his name, Blake Snell. If you remember the World Series, the Dodgers could not hit Blake Snell. Like, I got some stats here.
No one could hit Blake Snell. The pride of Shoreline.
Pride of Shoreline. Two World Series games, 10 innings, allowed four hits, struck out 18 Dodgers. You tell me the Padres aren't going right after the Dodgers this year? Blake Snell on the bump?
Hold on. I just got a limited edition hat. says Snell.
I love it.
Converted. The guy's a beast. Lefty. Pair him with you. You need pitching. You just can't have the bats. Potts? I mean,
Potts look good.
You need to get you yourself. I was listening to the Daily today, and they talked about where would you put your money if you're going to bet the World Series, the field or the Dodgers?
I might go field because the Padres.
Jeff Passan said, I don't know, because the Dodgers are just stacked. But, I mean, that's the idea. I believe he said the Dodgers and Pods will play 18 games against each other this year, and you and I have to make it to at least two.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers signed Trevor Bauer, which goes into my next segue. They signed him for $102 million over 3 years. But look the way this contract is set up. With this signing bonus of $10 million, he could make a total of $38 million in 1 year, which would make him the highest paid player in baseball. So they'll have Bauer, Kershaw, Buehler, David Price, who sat out last year, Bellinger, Betts. We saw what Betts did.
If I'm doing fantasy baseball, I'm just drafting the Dodgers. Just give me everyone on their team. Yeah. I don't care. Every Dodger.
Mookie Betts in year one, he won a World Series for the Dodgers. We'll see what Tatis can do. But I think it's a great contract because the Padres can win now. If they get a World Series in the next 2 or 3 years, everyone's going to forget about the Machado contract, and he'll be in Del Mar betting ponies till he's 35.
I would name a horse right now Tatis Jr. if you can. I don't know if there's like certain naming conventions that you have to align to when you name horses, but Tatis Jr. would be a winner. I like that pick. All right, I gotta get a plug. Noah Williams. You know Noah?
Basketball.
Google NCAA Player of the Week. Yeah. Noah Williams out of O'Day. And if anyone who listens to our podcast, let me explain this. O'Day is an all-boys school in Seattle. Produces a lot of really good athletes. Taylor Mays came from O'Day. I think the Burleson brothers played at O'Day. Really, really good athletes. A lot of people from O'Day are nationally recruited, or kids from O'Day are nationally recruited and or stick around and go play for the Huskies. Noah flipped the script. Went out to Wazoo. Played for Kyle Smith. The guy puts up 38 against Cal in a win.
Ooh.
And a 40 burger.
Wow.
Against Stanford in a triple OT win. National Player of the Week, Noah Williams. And you know what? You know why I like him? He's got the right amount of cockiness. He was once seen after beating the Huskies in Heck Ed or Alaska Airlines saying, "This is my city."
Whoa!
We're just rubbing it. I like the cockiness. Isaac Bonton was down. Everything ran through Noah. He stepped up big, put up 78 in two games, swept the Bay Area team. See ya. Out of Pullman, on a bus, back to Spokane, three-legged flight, back to San Francisco. They were just nightmares of Noah.
They're probably getting in tomorrow.
Right. He's still not back. Greyhound. The Greyhound's pulling up to Bend, Oregon right now. Take him on the last leg of their trip. Now, Cougs have been refreshing to watch. They've been in every game.
They beat the Bruins. You called it.
I did. I called it. I think at the closing of our last episode, I said the Cougs are up by 10, and you started laughing. The game wasn't on yet. But the Cougs did end up winning by, I think, like 8 points. So they're in every game. Kyle Smith has them in every game. They've got a couple good pieces. Noah Williams, Isaac Bonton's going to be gone next year, but they got Effie, this guy with just unlimited bounce. So my Cougs are going to be fun to watch. As the Huskies decline and the Cougs go up, we might see more people coming from the Metro League here in Seattle and opting to go to Pullman rather than go lose with Hopkins in American Airlines. And I can do that because the Cougs don't win that much. So. Give me my time in life.
Neither do the Huskies. Oh, shots fired.
Okay, Santa Clara. Ooh, sure. Good point. All right, Big Ben and K win, West Coast swing. Make sure wherever you are listening to us, subscribe so that you get our podcasts whenever they're published. 5-star reviews. Make sure you're eating 88 acre seed bars. I've lost 15 pounds by just eating them every day for every meal, along with some oranges and oatmeal. It's a big plug for 88 acres. Lost Run Pro.
No Filter Network. We're coming live.
Is that it? No win?
I don't want to leave them hanging out there. You got to follow us. You got to subscribe to see when we're going live.
To be determined. Big Ben and K-Win, WSD Podcast. Follow us wherever you're getting your social media, WST_podcast.
Boom.
Go Cougs. Boom. I'm sure you got defriended. You should go back and see what friends no longer call you and call them up and say, is it because I don't have an iPhone?
There's people who don't even invite me to play volleyball because I have a green pass.
There's like a group. Like, oh, Kyle's a good guy. He's a decent player. We'll include him on this volleyball chat.
They call me Android Kyle. They're like, will you see if Android Kyle, will someone text Android Kyle to see if he wants to play? I showed up to play volleyball. They're like, oh, that's Android Kyle?
But yet you continue to do it.
I'm memorable.
Get a burner phone.
I'm crying over this. It was so good.
Seriously, get a burner phone.